God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In our gospel reading from Mark chapter 6, we have two events that our people who formed the lectionary decided to put together for today's gospel reading. You have the fact that Jesus returns home to his hometown, and then you also have the sending out of the disciples. I think the two, from Mark's point of view, fit together extremely well. First of all, we have to address the rejection of Jesus, so to speak. When Jesus does return to his hometown, he doesn't quite receive the reaction that he did in other towns. As Jesus would go into other towns, people would be excited. People would look forward to hearing from him. People would be looking for a miracle, so to speak. But when Jesus comes into his own hometown, he begins to teach in the synagogue. Naturally, he is proclaiming that word of God as he himself is the word made flesh. But then notice the people's comments. Whereas they kind of appreciated his words of wisdom, they kind of appreciated how he was able to do a few healings here and there, but the words were that of more questions. Where did this man get these things? They asked themselves. They knew Jesus growing up. They knew his family. And now came the digs, so to speak. Why were they digging Jesus? As human beings, naturally our sinful nature wants to get the best of us. If we want to put other people down, we sometimes do so with a lot of strength and with a lot of digs. So also the people of Nazareth. The digs begin here. Is this not the carpenter? This is of one essence in today's world. Being a carpenter is a decent trade. Back then, it was one of the lowest trades. The son of Mary, that may not catch us by regard too much, except for during the time of Jesus. To be referred to being the son of Mary, the son of your mother, was a little degrading. You were very often and always referred to as the son of your father. The brother of James and Joseph, of Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And so they took offense. So here you had a crowd that at first was, you know, appreciative of the hometown boy becoming popular, doing miracles, having these words of wisdom, but then their mind sort of kicked in, their rational mind, and sort of undid all of this. They couldn't make that leap to truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now let's compare and contrast this with what happens next. Jesus then sends his disciples out. Even after he's been rejected in Nazareth, he doesn't stop there. He continues to go on to other villages, and now he sends his disciples out with some commands. You know, don't take this with you, do that, go only stay in one town. But he also prepares them also for rejection. So in both stories, or both accounts, you have rejection. First of Christ, and then of his disciples. For us today, I don't want to necessarily focus too much upon the rejection, but what do you truly believe? And the reason why I need to focus on what do you truly believe, it sounds like I'm trying to introduce a new topic, but not really, I'll get to this in a moment, is we say we're a Christian. We come and we gather to hear God's word and receive that sacrament. But do we truly believe that we are a follower of Christ? Do we truly believe that the faith given to us is the greatest miracle of all? Or do we think of this as something aside? Let me put it this way. If you had the greatest news of all, would you share it? Would you tell anyone? Would you rejoice in it? Or would you just keep it to yourself? Very often, if you're like me, if I have great news to tell you, I'm going to tell you. If something spectacular happens, I will be sharing it with a lot of people. But if it's just ordinary, then I'll keep it to myself. for you in your life, how well do you keep the message of our Lord and Savior to yourself? Where is your faith in your daily life? Can you not wait to tell somebody that, yes, you've been forgiven by your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you get excited when you come to church? Do you get excited to tell others about what Christ has done for you in your life? Now, let me put these questions back into our text. See, the reason why I'm so much begging these questions is because very often as Christians, we fall into more of a trap like the people of Nazareth. We sometimes get so familiar with Christ, or so we say, that it doesn't have much meaning for us. That excitement is lost. And in one essence, when that excitement is lost and Christ doesn't mean too much to us, we somewhat fall into what I would say would be a definition of almost a Christian functioning as an atheist. We may say things with our lips, but is our heart really into it? Or are we just going through the motions? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wants to challenge us. And so let me bring another nuance into our text. If you read through the whole Gospel of Mark and start listing out all the different miracles that Mark records that Jesus did, and of course our Lord and Savior does more miracles than Mark records for us, you get about 20 of them. And in those 20, you really only have about two in which Jesus says that your faith has made you well. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does indeed bless. He does indeed do miracles, and it's not necessarily on account of your faith, which is good and great news. We realize that, yes, God does indeed bless us. He does indeed love us, and it's not based on how well we trust in Him, but it's based on His love for us. So needless to say, when Jesus Christ dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, He does for the whole entire world, whether you believe it or not, even for the atheists. God promises blessings. He still loves. He still forgives them. But they don't have the same joy, the same peace that a Christian has. A Christian who looks to our Savior and says, yes, this is what I believe. This was the problem that the people of Nazareth had. In one essence, they wanted to believe, but their rational mind was basically saying, it's hard to believe. We remember Jesus growing up. So needless to say, Jesus could only do a few miracles in that town. What would have happened if Nazareth would have rallied around Jesus and said, ah, He is the Son of God, He is the Savior of the world? My guess would be the Christ would have been able to do a lot more miracles in Nazareth. Let me superimpose this idea now upon our lives. In our lives, do we truly see our Savior working day by day in our lives? Or do we just think that our Savior is distant from us? I would say those who truly do put their faith and trust in Christ, who truly do rely on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, can see Him daily active in our lives. Those who don't cannot. Yes, the Lord does bless all people. But for those who put their faith and trust in Him, our Lord and Savior is able to do more. Now let's move to the disciples. The disciples were sent out by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The same disciples who at times had doubt who Jesus was. Even after His death and resurrection and ascension, there were some who still doubted. Our disciples who were not well educated, who were not well skilled, but now were just doing what Christ told them to do. In one essence, they were the low people on the totem pole. I mean, being a tax collector during this time was not a popular profession. Same thing with being fishermen. They didn't have any credentials by themselves, but when Jesus said, go and do this, they did. In one essence, in today's world, they would be considered to be the worst kind of missionaries, the low people on the totem pole, not very articulate, not knowing much about Scripture, but they went. They went because of the command of God. You see, it is Christ's authority and Christ's command that gave them the power. They didn't have the power in and of themselves. They just trusted in what Christ told them to do. So also with us in our lives, we may not think of ourselves as very skilled to articulately defend the Christian faith, but it's not our faith that needs to be defended. It is Christ who defends it. It is the Holy Spirit who works through us that changes people's lives. Our job, like the disciples, is just to go and to share this good news. Our church is named Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church, and that word evangelical is basically meaning that good news. The good news that we have a Savior who dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, but yet, do you believe in it? Do you trust in that truly being good news? Or do you think of coming to church as something you just have to do? Our faith, our trust, opens us up to receive what God wants to give. Sometimes it may be miraculous. Sometimes the disciples, when they went from town to town, people did believe, people did repent, and yes, demons were exorcised. But sometimes, as Jesus prepared his disciples and needs to prepare us, it may be our cross, as Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. Yes, Jesus prepared his disciples for the miracles that he brings and the crosses and pains that this world definitely provides. Jesus' powerful presence does not guarantee, quote, success, at least success by our own definition. So we have to ask ourselves, hasn't Jesus given us this community of believers, this place in the community? And hasn't he commanded us to make disciples of all nations? So what, like the disciples, we also have his authority, an authority with power. But do you trust it? Do you believe it? Or do you want to rationalize it away like the people of Nazareth? So this day we ask the Lord to continue to open up our hearts, to give us that childlike faith that trusts in him above all things, to help us be excited about what Christ has done, and to take opportunities that Christ has given to us to share his wonderful word with those around us. Yes, we do not want to fall into the category of a functional atheist, one who would just attend services and do nothing. But we believe and trust in the forgiveness of sins, the life that Christ gives that changes us, so that we also, in turn, can tell the world what Christ has done. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.